Okay, we're in the book of Romans. We're studying the doctrine of condemnation. And as always, before I teach you anything, I like to review what we learned the week before. And so let me just ask you a few questions, and then we'll go into some tonight's teaching. When we started about talking about the doctrine of condemnation, it starts at 118 in Romans and goes all the way to 321. But what I wrote down, what verse in Romans describes and sums up the doctrine of condemnation? Like if you wanted to pick out one verse and it's, say this really describes the condemnation. What does condemnation mean? What's that? That is correct. You are right. And you know where it's at? Well, you know where it's found? Yeah. Look at Romans 3:19. Look at Romans 3:19. You said you did this last week. I know. I want to get this in your heart. Look what God says about the whole world, everyone. Now we know that whatsoever things the law says is said to them are under law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world, no one's exempt. No one's exempt. All the world may become guilty before God. I mean, they stand before the judge, and the gavel comes down. Guilty. Every person's guilty before God. No one excluded. No excuses. God says, shut your mouth. I was born on the wrong side of the track. Shut your mouth. I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth. Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. You're guilty. You're guilty. The whole world. See, Satan, you and I, we got good friends and good neighbors. And what happens is we think, well, they're nice people. You know, they paint their house. They don't beat their wife. They pay their taxes. Hello, how many are with me? And they're good people. They, you know, once in a while they bring you in something out of their lunch to give you. And you say, here, have this. I don't want this today. Maybe they'll come over and cut your grass once in a while or something. And you say, boy, they're not that bad. No. It doesn't matter. The whole world, I don't care. Every person's lost. Every person needs to be saved. Every person's condemned. We're studying the doctrine of condemnation. The whole world, and I don't care what part of the world you go to. I don't care if you're in France, England, America. You name anywhere on the, put your finger on the globe. Guilty. Guilty. No one excluded. No one can hide. They're all guilty before God. So the doctrine of condemnation, and Marie was right, is to sum up the doctrine of condemnation, every mouth stopped and the whole world guilty. God says they're guilty. You need to tell people, did you know God says you're guilty? Well, I'm a pretty good person. Well, God says you're guilty. The Bible says in Romans 3, do you believe the Bible? Yeah. Well, the Bible says you're guilty. See, you got to get people lost. And you need to have the Word of God in your heart so you can show people, hey, no, you're guilty. You need saved. Are you with me? And so the doctrine of condemnation, the whole world, Romans 3:19. How many types of sinners are we talking about in this? Three types. You're right. Can anyone name the first one? The rational sinner, that's right. And that's what we're studying right now. And that guy says there's no God. And then there's, what's the other one we're going to, after this one? Reformed sinner. That guy says, don't, preacher, don't talk to me, preacher. Go down and talk to those poor saps down there. They need God. Me and God are just like this. That reformed sinner, me and God are just like this. He said, you know, I was in the army. He said, during the war, a grenade went off and an explosive, and everybody died but me. Listen, I should have been. God loves me. Preacher, I was in a car accident, and everyone died but me. Don't talk to me. God's watching over me. Well, when we get to the Reformed Center, I'm going to show you why they didn't die in that explosion, why they didn't die, because that Reformed Center needs to know something, that God's been good to them for a reason, you see. And then you got the rational center, reformed center. What's the third center? Yeah, that's that guy. It says, hey, man, God's lucky. God needs me. God needs guys like me to do bad to make him look good. God, preacher, don't preach to me. God ought to thank me for doing bad. I make God look good. And I'll show you in the scripture when we get to it. Unbelievable. If it wasn't in the Bible, I wouldn't believe it's there, but it's there. And so, today we're going to be in the rational center. And so, when we're talking about this rational center, what is the sin of the rational center? Anyone know what the sin of the rational center is? The sin of the rational center. Yes. He rationalized God out of his life. Who says I'm out suppressing the truth? Yes. What I want you to get from this, and you need to get this, the rational sinner, he holds back or he suppresses the truth that God is. Look at Romans 1:19. Look at Romans 1:19. Or Romans 1:18. 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of the men who look at these men that they do. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. They suppress the truth. They hold back the truth of God. And if you look at, and there's another thing that goes along with this in verse 28. It says they do not want to retain the knowledge of God. Look at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. How many see that? This rational sinner, man, he God keeps speaking to him, but he refuses. He suppresses that truth of God. He holds the truth back. Everything, God keeps trying to witness to him, but he just says no to God, no to God. No, like Pharaoh kept saying no to God, and their heart becomes harder and harder and harder, and eventually their heart finally has no effect on them because their heart is calloused. And they don't want to retain the knowledge of God. They suppress the truth that God is. Remember that scripture I gave you on Hebrews? Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You can't get saved until you know God. Unless you believe there's a God, you can't even think to be getting saved. Even the devil knows there's God and trembles. But I told you, I showed you an illustration of my own life. One reason I know I got saved, that I had an opportunity, and I did get saved years ago, but I used to walk out of the bar at night. And I'd say, God, I know you're up there. God, there's got to be more to life. See, I recognize it. I acknowledge that there was a God. I wasn't saved. Just saying that there was a God doesn't save you. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And I always thought he was. I didn't darken that light out. I didn't blow that candle of the Spirit of God out that we talked about last week. And then God gave me more light until I got saved. Amen? But I'm glad I didn't knock out the light. So you have to believe that he is before you can't even get saved until you believe there's a God. Guy says, I don't believe there's a God. Well, he can't be saved. I told you this a long time ago. I'll tell you, I remember I used to always witness at Allied Chemical when I worked there, and I had a kid come down, and he said, I know you're a preacher. Don't even say nothing to me. He says, everyone tells me about you. He said, you're trying to get everybody saved. He said, I'm telling you right now, don't even try with me. I don't believe there's a God. I said, okay. I won't even bother with you then. You can't be saved. And boy, that just bothered him. And next day he said, hey, you haven't told me nothing about Jesus. Everyone told me you would tuck my head off about Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I said, no, I'm not going to bother you. You said there's no God. You can't be saved anyways. He said, I can too. I said, no. And this went on for a whole week, Betty. A whole week. And the guy finally says, I can be saved. I can be saved. I said, no, you're going to hell. You can't. You said there's no God. And the Bible says, he that cometh to God must believe he is. So, and he said, I can be saved. I can be saved. I want to be saved. And by the end of that week, there was about 70 men. And I'm not making, God knows I'm telling the truth. His name was Phil Ditch. His name was Phil Ditch. There was about, the lunchroom was just, I don't know, I'm going to guess, 50 to 70 men in that lunchroom. But I had witnessed to him. Let's see, the last few days I started putting stuff in his heart. Because God had bricked his heart. And I just reversed it on him. He came after me instead of me going after him. Because I kept telling, you can't be saved. No, why am I going to waste my time? You can't go to heaven anyways. And it just, God used it to prick his heart. See, the light wasn't completely out. And so I started showing the Bible. And then on that Friday, I opened my Bible. There was men all around. And I took them through the Romans Road. And I said, Phil, I know there's probably 70 men. I mean, they're everywhere. I mean, and I said, would you like to trust Christ as your Savior, right? And he said, I do. I want to trust Christ as my Savior. And with all those men around, we bowed our head in the middle of that lunchroom. And that man, his young guy, Phil Ditch, young kid, probably in his 20s. And, he's early 20s, maybe 19 right in there. Just a young kid. And, of course, I was a young kid, too. I was probably 30 then. But he bowed, and he said, dear God, save my soul from hell. I trust you. And he got saved. And what was amazing, I didn't even know it, they laid off a bunch of guys that day. And because he was a young guy, and this guy, I don't think I ever saw him again. But isn't it amazing how God saved him before he left? Isn't that amazing? So, but see, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. So if they say there's no God, you can't even get the score home run, you got to get the first base. If you say there's no God, you're not even going to get to first base. Amen? Well, so this rational sinner, he suppresses the truth. He holds back the truth that God is. He refuses, in verse 28, he refuses to retain the knowledge of God. And then the next question, then I'm going to start teaching you. Titus 2:11, I showed you Titus 2:11. It says, for the grace of God, Titus 2:11, for the grace of God which bringeth salvation, says the grace of God which bringeth salvation, hath appeared to all men. And this, didn't say the gospel. Didn't say the gospel. Said the grace of God. The grace of God has appeared to all men. Because there's some people that's never going to hear the gospel. That'll shake you. There's people going to die that never got the gospel, but they had the grace of God, and they refused it. See, if you don't refuse the grace of God, God will give you the gospel eventually. Are you still with me? Titus 2:11, for the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And he's appeared two ways. I told you, God has two preachers. There are two preachers that God uses to reach every person in the world. I don't care if they're in the deepest part of Africa. I don't care if they're in Siberia and in Russia. I don't care where they are. They could be out in the Arabian desert. I don't care. You swing that globe anywhere you go and put your finger on it, and I guarantee you the grace of God's there, wherever that person is. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God, which bringeth salvation, hath appeared to all men. And I told you it's appeared to all men by two ways. God has two preachers. And by the way, the Bible says in Romans 1:20, when they reject these two witnesses, two preachers that God brings, they're not people, they're without excuse. They're guilty. And so what were those two preachers that we talked about, two witnesses that God gives? What's number one? Yes, God conscience. God, John 1:9 says, he was the light. John 1:9 says, and I got that on your paper. John 1:9 says he was the light that lighteth every man that cometh in the world. Every person is born with a God conscience that God is. You might want to say that God conscience is like a compass that can take us towards God or can go away from God. You might say that conscience is like that. I hate seatbelts. I wear them. I don't want to wear them. And the only reason I wear them, not because I think I need them for safety, but I wear them because I don't want to get a ticket. And I can't stand the bell. You don't put the seatbelt, ding, 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 ding. I'll put it on. Hate them stinking bells. How many know what I'm talking about? Can you say amen?
Amen.
They're burning those bells. But you might say your conscience, that God is like a bell that goes off trying to warn you. You don't have your seatbelt set. You're not fastened right. How many are still with me? And so this God conscience, that precious little baby that we had the other day at Brother Tim's little baby, the little girl, Lily, yeah. She was born with a God conscience that God is. Isn't she beautiful? She is just beautiful, man. And that baby was born with the God conscience that God is. Mom and Dad won't have to tell her. One day she'll look up in the stars and she'll say, "Hey, Mom, where's God at? Where's God at?" Josiah will say, "Wow, who told you about God?" She was born with that. Joseph, your little babies are born with a God conscience that God is. That's why you don't get, "Where's God?" They're born with it. They're born with it. They're also born with that fallen nature too. So even when they're not sick, they cry, so you hold them. Hello? I mean, when babies cry, you're supposed to do two things. Check the diaper. Make sure they got a dry one. And give them some food. What, if they're dry and they're fed, they shouldn't be crying unless there's something hurting them. That's the third thing. But usually, you put them down. Wah! Put them up. But they're born with a God conscience. They're born with a fallen nature too, by the way. But they're born with a God conscience that God is. Where's God? And so that first, and we showed you in Proverbs. Did you write on your paper? Was it Proverbs 20, verse 27? Is that where it is?
Yeah.
That the Spirit of the Lord is a candle. It talks about the light, that light, God refers to that God conscience as a, give it to me, Eddie. Proverbs 20, 27, Eddie White. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. It talks about, in the New Testament, it talks about being a light. And then in the Old Testament, it calls it a candle. Well, a candle and a light are the same thing. A candle gives off light. Go ahead, give it to me, Eddie. Tell me where you're at.
Proverbs 20, 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord.
Yeah, the spirit of man is a candle. Remember, I told you that is like the intellect. Look up here. Go ahead and read it out, then I'll teach.
Searching all the inward parts of the belly.
Yeah. See that spirit. We have a body, soul, and spirit. And next week I'll get into this. There's a lot of stuff there, and that's when I get on that, I want to take the whole lesson on that. There's a lot to it, and but that spirit is the intellect. See, every person has to make a meditative, determined decision that Jesus Christ is Savior of the world. That soldier said, "Truly, this is the Son of God." He made a meditative, determined decision in his heart. He needed Christ. See, Ephesians 2:1 says, "You who are dead in trespasses and sin, he quickened us." We had dead spirits. God brought us to life. He's quickened our spirit and saved our soul. Hello? See, the soul is the heartiest. The man with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. I'll teach this next week. But you can see that that little baby and every person that's born, I don't care where they're at, they have the two witnesses of God. There's the light, a spirit. It's a conscience. Look at Romans chapter 2. It's a God conscience that God is. It's a conscience that tells you when you're doing bad. Go ahead, Romans 2, 14 and 15. I think it's, read them both, Eddie, but I think it's verse 15. How many got Romans now? Stay with me. Don't, you got to learn. Look up here. You got to work. See, I come here to work. A workman, that preacher's going to work with you. I'm not tickling your ear, but I'm teaching you right now. And when you work, it takes work to learn. And so, but this is good that we learn. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Amen? And so you say, boy, he's not going very fast. I'm not trying to go fast. I'm just trying to get the whole wall painted and make it covered good. How many are with me? Tell them where you're at, Eddie.
Romans chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law...
Now, we were never given the law. The Jews got the law. And then it was only given until Jesus came. Okay, go ahead. And he came.
For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. Verse 15. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience...
Yes, that's what I want.
...bearing witness, and their thoughts, the mean, while accusing or... else accusing one another.
Thank you. That conscience, you're born with a God conscience that God is. It's a light, John 1:9, that he was the light that lighteth every man that comes in the world. When Saul got saved on the road to Damascus on Acts 9, he saw a light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He said, you're the light of the world once you get saved. How many are still with me? And if you don't think I'm telling you the truth, Matthew 6:23 says, if that light that be in you, if that light be it, that's in you, that you're born with, be darkened, how great is the darkness? So you can put that light out. And this rational sinner, he keeps saying, she or he, whatever it is, they keep saying no, no, no to God, no, no. See, it's dangerous to keep saying no to God. And what they do is they rationalize God right out of their life. They suppress the truth of God. I don't care what you say, preacher. I don't care what he says. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care. I don't believe it. They just keep saying no to God. And this first preacher that God sends to them, God sends that light, that conscience. And they sear that conscience. They darken that. I told you, remember the dimmer switch? What they did, if you say yes to God, see, every time I kept saying, God, God, you're up there, they kept turning the dimmer switch brighter. When the people said, Pharaoh, he said, no, 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 no. He just kept getting it darker. Till he was in obscure darkness. You can really see this with a visual aid. I can see it. So the first witness and the first preacher is that light, that God conscience, that God is. And then the second witness, does anybody remember the second? We didn't get to get into that a lot. You're right, Ruthie. Whoever said creation's right. And we're going to look at that tonight. I'm going to take a few minutes and show you that creation. Now, it's going to take me some time to do this. So that's why I didn't pass the papers out. And we're still, you that took the Romans class, I'm really doing phenomenal. I mean, we were like 3 months before we ever got to even here. We didn't get here in 3 months. So trust me, you still are getting advanced quick class. If you think I'm going slow, I'm not. And so, all right, let's look at Romans chapter 1. For the wrath of God's revealed, verse 18, from heaven, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And we told you that God... They hold back, they suppress truth that God is. And I told you the preacher that God gave them was that God conscience, the light that lighteth every man comes in the world. And then look at verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them. See, how many see that? verse 19. It's manifested in them, that God conscience. He was the light that lighteth every man that cometh in the world. The Spirit, how many see that? It's in them. Don't say I'm making up some kind of, I'm telling you the truth. And for God had showed it unto them. And look at verse 20. And we'll do this 20 and we'll get done tonight when we do verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. How many see that? By the way, they're clearly seen. Some are invisible, though, and I'll talk to you about that. I got some on your paper. But let's look at that second preacher. The first preacher is the God conscience that God is. You're born with it. You're born with a God conscience. The light. How many see that? Spiritual dome light in you. Number two, the second preacher that God gave this rational center that he suppresses, that he would not retain. He suppressed the truth of creation. We will come back to Romans 1:20, but look at the book of Psalms right now. Look at Psalms 1:19. Look at Psalms 19. Psalms 19, verse 1. Two preachers that they suppress. Two preachers that God gives to them that they do not retain it. See, even the kid, I don't care where they're, no matter where they're born. I don't care if they're born in Moscow. He's born with a God conscience. If he has eyes and can see, he can see the creation. Are you with me? So, I don't care who, it doesn't matter. You say, well, how's that little guy back in the, like those little pygmies back in those deep jungles where no one's even, like, no human people have ever went back there. No one's ever, a missionary. How could they be saved? They could be saved because if they will go with that God conscience that God gave them, and they will not suppress that, and they will not suppress the conscience of creation, God will give them more. I remember Dr. Brooke talking about missionaries that'll go in these jungles where no missionaries ever been, and these natives would say, "Tell us about God. We've been asking God to tell you. You must be the one that God brought to tell us about God." I'm going to tell you right now. Every person, I don't care in China. It doesn't. You got to get this. Every person in the world that's ever been born has an opportunity to be saved. Amen. If they don't suppress these two preachers that God gives them, the conscience and the creation, if they will say yes to if they won't suppress the truth of God and the creation of God, God will give them more light. And that light will come right on the Christ. Hello? I was not a good kid. I was a bad kid. I'm not proud of it. I was what they call a juvenile delinquent. I'm amazed that I'm saved. Beyond I'm saved. Carl McDaniel, your preacher's actually been preaching for 40 years. A juvenile delinquent. It's a miracle. It's a miracle of God. But if I would have said, as bad as I was, not proud of those things. But one thing I didn't do, I didn't suppress God. Oh, I guarantee you, I didn't make him happy a lot. But I didn't suppress the truth that God was. And because I kept saying, "God, I know you're up there," he showed me more. He brought Rosie into my life. Rosie took me to hear the word of God. And later I got saved. That's how God works. He brought more light. How many understand what I'm saying? And if I don't care who you are, I don't care. See, you got to get this, because Satan will say, "Well, they didn't have a chance." Everybody's got a chance. Everybody's got a chance to be saved. The Bible teaches God's no respecter of people, persons. Look at Psalms 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God. You look up in the heavens, man. How many of you ever looked up and just seen all those stars and everything? Man, Sergeant, there's days I look up and I say, wow, man. I mean, they're all over the place. And it just shows you how big and how awesome God is. Whew. I mean, every night those stars come and they come out. When they come out, they're saying, there is a God. There is a creator. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. Hello? This rational sinner, he suppresses the truth that God's a creator. He looks at those stars and say, oh, they just happened by accident. I listened to a guy for just a couple minutes because I won't let, there was a moron on a radio program the other day. I watch very little TV, left it sports. I'm a radio nut. I love radios. I have to say I do. And this bird brain was talking about, sometimes I just do it just to laugh. He said, well, you know, just you Christians, you always use creation and stuff. That was Rush Limbaugh. It was Rush Limbaugh. I was in a car somewhere. I think it was old Rush. Some moron called Rush Limbaugh. And Rush just chuckled all, you know, he said, you know, I know you guys, you creationists, I said, boy, you're an idiot. And I'll show you what he was down there, because it says they become fools and their foolish heart. But anyways, I said, what a moron. Take it, Russ. And I'm not saying Russ is a born-again Christian, but I'm just saying he has enough sense to know there's a God. He's not a dummy. He hasn't resisted the creation. But this moron, I said, boy, just pull in and get a moron burger, because that's exactly what you are. You are a moron. They used to sell moron burgers in Toledo. They had like six patties. I ate one. There was six patties when I was a kid. I ate one. They said you couldn't eat them. I said, I can eat it. I love hamburgers. And they called them they were in Holland, Savannah. They used to, I don't know if it's still there. They probably went out of business. They were called moron burgers. Not lying to you. Not making up. I'm not preaching right now. I'm telling you the truth. And you'll get that. But really, they really was called more. There was six or eight patties on it. And they said, you can't eat this. I said, I can eat it. I ate it too. The whole thing. Wasn't that good a hamburger. The quality wasn't that good. Because I like good quality. And look at Psalms 19. The heaven. And they had more on milkshakes and more on french fries. I had one of each, and I ate them all. But I'll tell you right now, my stomach hurt after that. But I did. They said, we can't believe you did. I said, I can't believe. That's when they got that commercial. I can't believe I ate the whole thing. And that's how come they invented Rolaids, because that moron burgers. Okay. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows this anywhere. When you look, you see, oh my lands. Everywhere you look, you see God's creation. How can you suppress? They say, no. This ain't God. You see them birds flying out over the ocean. You see the rainbow. You see all kinds of beautiful things. I remember as a young preacher, Rod, we were driving through Tennessee. And I'm a Yankee. And I never left the state of Ohio. I never saw a real mountain. And boy, I went through those Smoky Mountains with Rosie. Man, I was holding on. I was terrified with the driving through a mountain with a car. But I wanted to. It was so, Mark. It was so awesome. And I told Rosie, I said, "Oh my lands, if you can't see the hand of God," I said, "You no wonder that it says there in Psalms 19:1. Look at Psalms 19:1." Look at Psalms 14:1. Look at Psalms 14:1. It says, only a fool will say in his heart there's no God. When you see the creation of God, and these rational sinners, Eddie, they're saying, nah. There's no God. It just happened that way. I love it. These bang theories. They said there was a big bang. Can I ask you something? First of all, who created the bang? And even when they created the bang, What did he have to bang? If there was nothing there. Hello? I mean, you have got to work hard to be an atheist. No, I, honest to God, it's harder to believe and be an atheist than it is to be. Because you got to get this. The atheist is constantly fighting God. Everywhere he goes, the creation, he's fighting it. The God conscience, he's fighting it. He can't, no matter where he goes, he's fighting the conscience, he's fighting the creation. He's fighting the conscience, he's fighting the creation. I can't stand you, God. How many understand what I'm saying? And this rational sinner, he's fighting and fighting and fighting the truth of God. Everywhere you go, the truth of God's all around you. And they're fighting it. And you wonder, how can those people say what they're saying? They would not retain the knowledge of God. I mean, are you with me? Did we read Psalms 19:1?
Yeah.
Now look at Psalms 14:1. They deny God's handiwork. Look at Psalms 14:1. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. He saw those stars out there. He saw the creation. He goes through those mountains and sees the Pacific and the ocean. Sees those the beautiful fish and all the different birds. And we went to Maui and you had that little thing you put in your mouth and you go underneath the water, snorkel. Yeah, and I'd be a good doing that, wouldn't I? David loved it. He was down there for hours, man. He wouldn't come up. Me, I went up. They fed you lunch, a turkey and roast beef. I went for 15 minutes. I ate for an hour. And he swam for an hour. I ate for an hour. So you could. But I went down and Margaret, Marie, my mama was Margaret. Yep. There was thousands and thousands and thousands of fish. I mean, I'm talking just thousands. And I could see about 100 feet straight down. It's like Windex. You that are there know what I'm talking about. And all the, Lizzie, all these fish, all kinds of colors, yellow and red and blue. And they were just, I mean, so beautiful. I mean, so much, and just, Brother Mike, everything's just so beautiful. The trees and the flowers. No wonder they call it the paradise of God. I mean, people go and say, this just happened by accident? You gotta be a fool to say that. And that's exactly what the rational. Look, say in 14:1. Stay with me. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. They are corrupt. We're gonna find that out next week. They are corrupt. They have done abomination of work. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down, verse 2, are you in Psalms 14:2? The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if they were any that did understand and seek God. This rational sinner, he won't retain God. He pushes God away. Scripture says draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. This guy does opposite. No. I don't want nothing to do with God. I resist God. I hold back the truth of God. I will not retain God in my mind. That's the rational center. You see that? And they're all gone. They're all gone aside. They have altogether become filthy. There is none to do with good. No, not one. I will tell you right now, these rational sinners, boy, they just say no to God. Look at Psalms 138. Psalms 38. Can I go for another 10 minutes? I'm just now getting started. I really am, but 138 and look at one verse 14. 138 verse 14. Yeah, 138 Psalms 139. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. First one today. First mistake I made in the last 10 minutes. Psalms 139, verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. How many see that? Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. look up here. Our bodies are so complex with all the different veins and blood vessels and white cells and red cells and all the anatomy of a person, and we just happened by accident. The moron that called Rush talked about monkeys. That's what it was. He said the monkeys, we cheated the monkeys. That's what got me going. Did anybody hear Rush Limbaugh? No right wingers here. Okay. All righty. You better be right wing with me, buddy. You're in trouble. But this guy said, yeah, our DNA is just a little bit off from the ape. We stole something from him. And I said, there's a rational center. Hello, duh. He said, yeah. And then Rush just made a joke. Rush just went, Rush says, I got an idiot here. I'm going to have fun. He said, yeah, I bet those apes are mad. And Rush just went on with it. Because, Rush has got, he's an intellectual guy. He knew he had a moron there. And so, and the moron didn't even know he was making fun of him. That was what's amazing. He really didn't. And I'm just chuckling. I almost had to pull the car over because I was splitting the gut. Rush is just tearing this guy up. This guy's a moron, talking how we robbed the apes. We got a little more than the apes did, and that we ought to thank God we cheated the apes and stuff like that. And I just said, you are an idiot. It just goes to show you they let everybody on radio. And but see what this guy had to do though, he's denied the creation. Because we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And all the intricate things of your blood vessels and our heart beats how many times a minute or so? Thousand? David, you know how many times, you're a smart kid. How many times does a heart beat, son?
Between 70 and 90 or so.
Every minute? Every minute. So and we like if you figure that'd be millions and billions of times in a lifetime. But Marie, don't worry. It just happened by chance that you got a good heart. I mean, forget that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And I mean, just get another one out of the Cracker Jack box. They got something in every box, a toy. And I just thought, what a Lulu. And I thought, there's a rational sinner. There's a guy that's denied the creation of God. He don't. And of course, Rush said, "Now there's some of us that believe in the creation." He said, "I'm not saying you have to believe it." And he just went on. But he made a big joke about the ape. And he said, "Yeah, but those apes are mad at us or something." I just and the guy was so stupid, Eddie. Rush was just putting it to him, and he's probably like, "Listen, he probably didn't get it till about the middle of the night and say, oh, my lands.'" You know how you wake up and you get those jokes, Lizzie? The jokes, but. You'll get it tonight when I'm telling. Eddie will tell you. And I just thought, how far does a person have to go? How far does a person have to go to get like that? Hello? And they're out there. People that say no, no, no to God, they become vain in their imaginations. The Bible, I'll show you, there's six judgments on those people. God puts three natural judgments and three divine judgments from God. There's six judgments that God puts on them. We'll do that next week. But let me finish this one tonight. And so you see that, look at the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter, I'll have to hurry. It's already 10 after. Son of a gun. Man. Let me just try to teach you some things here. Look at Isaiah chapter 20. Look at Isaiah 40, verse 25 and 26. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25 and 26. To whom then will you liken me? God says to him, to whom will you liken me? Okay, Mr. Smarty-all. Who are you going to like? Who's like me? Who's like God? or shall I be equal? Who's my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who has created these things, and bringeth them out, bring out their host by number. I'm in Isaiah 40:26. Does anyone know what he's talking about here? The stars and the planets and everything. Lift up your eyes on high, you rational sinner, and behold who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by the names. He's got a name for every star. He called them all by their names, by the greatness of his might. For he is strong in power. Watch. Not one faileth. Did you ever wonder how these stars are just hanging there? Why don't they just come down and hit down on planet Earth? Why don't they just crack into everybody? What's holding them up there? What's holding the Earth? What's holding planet Earth up there on its orbit? Hello? You got to be a ding-a-ling. Seriously. What just happened, Arlene? A big bang. Man, we got the rotation right. We got the Smoky Mountains right. We got the fish right. We got the man got a good heart out of it. I mean, the little things in the pupils and all the things in the eye, iris. Man, everything just came out perfect. Just by a big bang. Can you believe that? No. No, but I do believe in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Amen? I mean, and so this rational sinner, man, he's having a tough way to go. Because everywhere, he can't run. Am I boring you folks tonight? He can't run. This rational sinner, he's miserable. That's why they're always so mad. Madeline, they're always saying, there's no God, there's no God. Well, if there's no God, why do you keep talking about him? Why are you trying to prove to me that something doesn't exist? If he doesn't exist, why are we having a big feud about it? Hello? See, they just can't. God, they just can't get it out of them. Those two preachers that God gives. He gives the God conscience, the light, and he gives the creation. Let me give you just a couple more verses. Look at Colossians chapter 1. And I got to stop. Boy. All right. I'll stop. I don't want to stop. Can I just give you two more verses? Look at Colossians chapter 1. I have more, but I'll wait. It's 8:15. I don't teach fast enough. Colossians, well, Mark, I was going to stop at 8. Mark said he didn't have Bible music, so I said, oh, well, I won't do it, then I'll keep going. I think he's doing it for preacher. Thank you. Let me give you a couple more, then I have to go on next week to the judgments. See, you don't understand. I could keep going on this stuff. This stuff, there's a ton of stuff here. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. Colossians, verses 12, verse 17. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Hello? Are you lighting up? I'm not talking about Lucky Strike now. Who had delivered us from the power of what? And had translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image, Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created. Look at that verse 16. For by Christ, for God, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. You better hope God never dies. Because if God ever died, we're gone. Because of him, all things consist. That knucklehead rational sinner don't even realize the air that he breathed, God's just lending to him. He better hope that God doesn't die. Because if God ever ceased to exist, he would see, everything would end. We disintegrate. Hello? That's what the Bible says. By him all things consist. Hello? Are you still with me, church? See, you either got to believe that or you believe that you believe a lie. Everything here is, it consists by Christ. It's all his creation. Amen? Look at your paper, not close. That's why, don't turn this, but in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it talks about how every knee is going to bow. One day, I don't care who, maybe someday I'll show you this. It says that every knee is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Those rational sinners, they might not confess it now, but they will one day. Now look at your paper. Now, how many still got that paper? And I'm going to close with this. And then I'm done with this paper. Look at those. Look at that creation. Look at Romans 1:20, and I'll stop. I'm trying to. Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. What are some invisible things that, of creation? I just gave you a couple. Look at your paper there. A. How many see it on the right hand? Are you with me, church? Don't stop at me yet. A. God's love manifests in the love of a mother for a child. A mother will die for her children. You can't explain it. You can't, but it's God that put that in there. The mother has a love for their children beyond degree. Where did it come from? It came from God. God's artistic quality, the sunset. You see, you go out and you see the beautiful, oh, my lands. We'd go down to Naples or when we were in Mali, but when we were in Naples, every night, people in Florida, those that go down to Florida know what I'm talking about, especially on the golf course, on the golf, not the golf, like over in the water. Yeah, the golf coast or any shore that looks out over the water. The sunsets are beautiful there. That's right. People in Naples, Florida, and all around, and how many they get their chairs. The seniors get their chairs out. In fact, we were doing it too. We were, and they sit and they watch the sunset every night because it's so beautiful. How many ever watched a beautiful sunset? That's an invisible thing of God. My lands, God, that's just phenomenal. God's highly organized, the sun, moon, stars. I showed you Isaiah 40:26, not one faileth. God's mercy in the rainbow. By the way, that's Genesis 9, not Genesis 3. That was a typo. See where it says Genesis 3, 12 through 14? It's supposed to be Genesis 9. Let me just read that to you. I give you my word, I'll stop after this. I promise you I will. Look at Genesis chapter 9. Everybody look at Genesis chapter 9. And I promise I'll stop. I mean it. Look at 9:12. And God said, this is a token of the covenant which I make between me and you. By the way, this has been 6,000 years ago, Eddie. This is a covenant that was made with man about 6,000 years ago. A little less than 6,000 years ago. Are you still with me? No, I'm wrong on that. About 5,000. Anyways, stay with me. And God said, this is a token he gave this to Noah, which I make between me and you and every living creature is with you. For perpetual generations, I do set my bow in the cloud. How many see that? He's talking about the rainbow. And it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bowl shall be seen in the cloud. Every time it rains, a lot of times you see rainbows. You don't see them till. How many are with me? And look at verse 16. And the bowl shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all the flesh that's upon the earth. And I'm going to tell you this. Every time you see a rainbow, it should remind you of the existence of God. Every time you see a rainbow, you tell your kids, hey, God promised that thousands of years ago to Noah and his generations. He said, every time you see the rainbow, think of me. I'm going to promise that I'll never flood the whole world. There's been floods, but there's never been a world flood. That's why you know it was a world flood in Noah's day too. Every time I tell my grandkids, see that rainbow? God made it. And God's still alive because the rainbow's still here. Amen. See that? So you have to, that rational sinner, he has to deny that God made that rainbow. And so we find tonight, and I'm all done for tonight's teaching, that there's two preachers that rational sinner resist. That holds back, suppresses. He suppresses the God conscience that God is, and he suppresses the truth that of the creation. And because of that, God says he's guilty. And because of suppressing those truths, next week I'm going to show you what God does to that person. Six judgments. Because they said no to God, God brings six judgments on him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had in the Word of God. I sure hope I'm a blessing to the people, Father. I really want to be. Help me to teach well, Father. Pray that I can be a good workman, that would not to be ashamed. And I pray that I could teach others also, that they might teach people. Holy Spirit, be our teacher here. Hide these truths in our heart. Help us understand and to take those with us and use them for the glory of God. I pray if there's anyone here that's never trusted you, Lord, I pray, dear God, that tonight would be a night that they would say yes to God and not no. I pray they won't shake their fist at God and say no, God, but they'd say yes to God. And that, Father, they would come to the light of Christ. I wonder, what, before we go home, how many could say, Pastor, I know for sure I'm saved. I know if I had died, I'd go to heaven. I'm positive. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm positive. Thank you. You may put it down. Is there anyone tonight that say, Preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Pray for me. Anyone like that? If you're listening on the way of the internet on these Bible teachings, let me encourage you. Maybe you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You can do it right now. Don't say no to God. That's the trouble. People keep saying no. If God spoke to you while you're listening to this tape, say yes to God right now. Write what you're doing. Stop what you're doing and just say yes to God. Say, God, I acknowledge that you're the Creator. God, I need you. Show me more, and He will. Write to us, and we'll do all we can to help you, encourage you, and show you things of Christ. Father, I pray with all my heart that you will bless these teachings, and many people that are in darkness will come to light, the glorious light of Jesus Christ. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.